Good evening. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to John chapter 14 as we meditate on this theme of He teaches, that is, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. Now, growing up, we all have different teachers through our lives. We have teachers who will teach us the various subjects in school, teachers of math, of science, of geography, of history, of English, of Mandarin, all these different teachers who will teach us these different things in life. Then if you take up a particular sport, you also would have teachers or coaches who will instruct you and help you to perfect your skill and your techniques in these various sports. So we know we need different teachers for the different skills that we have to acquire through life. But who will be the teachers of spiritual things? No doubt we thank the Lord that God also has given to us teachers, pastors, who will instruct us in the Word of God. And these are teachers whom the Lord will appoint, who will study the Word of God, and then having done so, to also impart God's truth to God's people. But we have a very comforting truth, because even these teachers that we have who would teach us concerning spiritual things, to teach us God's word, we know that they are often not perfect. But what we are comforted by is the knowledge and the truth that we have a perfect teacher who will teach us concerning spiritual things, who will teach us concerning God's truth. And this teacher is none other than the Holy Spirit, such that the Bible would tell us that even the pastors, the teachers, these are just but mouthpieces. These are just but vessels and instruments used of God. And the one whom will really teach us, instruct us, and lead us and guide us into all truth is the Holy Spirit. And this evening we want to consider this very special and unique ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who will teach us concerning God's truth. Now in the passage which we have read, it is still part of the upper room discourse. So from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 17 of the book of John, or the Gospel of John, this is what we have and what we would commonly call the upper room discourse. And in this upper room discourse, the Lord Jesus Christ has already prophesied and told his disciples concerning his death. That is, he's about to go to the cross very soon. And he's also about to depart from them very soon. And naturally, the disciples would be fearful, they would be afraid. And hence, the Lord Jesus Christ comforted them. In John chapter 14, he tells them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be troubled by this." And then, having encouraged them, the Lord Jesus Christ also left them a promise. That was what we have considered last Lord's Day. From verse 14 to verse 14, from verse 15 to verse 17, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ promised that he will give to them another comforter who will abide with them and who will comfort them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ went on to also tell them that the world will see Christ no more. But even though the world will no longer see Christ, but they will still see him, because the Lord Jesus Christ will still manifest himself to them. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ declared in verse 19. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 19, he says, "Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also." And the question is, what does this mean when the Lord Jesus Christ says that the world very soon will no longer see the Lord Jesus Christ, but for the disciples, they will see the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this merely referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in the resurrection, the world will not see Christ, but the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ will see Christ. So having said that, now there's this person named Judas. If you look at the context, right, in verse 22, the Bible says, "Judas saith unto him," this is Judas who is not Iscariot. Another name for him is also Judas Thaddeus or Judas Lebaeus. So this is Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, the brother of James. He asked the Lord Jesus Christ, "What do you mean that we will see you? How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world. Because if you look at the end of verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ said that those who love him, he will manifest himself unto him. In verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So again, this is still in line with the same theme which the Lord Jesus Christ declared, that he will reveal himself to the disciples. He will manifest himself to the disciples, and the disciples will see him, but the world will not see him. Hence, Judas's question, how is it that we, your disciples, will be able to see you, but the world will not be able to see you? Is he referring to the resurrection? Now, we realize that in the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ was not merely talking about the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ then answered Judas in verse 23. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So how will the Lord Jesus Christ manifest himself to the disciples and not to the world? It is when the disciples who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and which will also lead to the Father loving the disciples, and then the Father and the Son will come unto him, that is, unto those who love him, and now will dwell together with the disciples. And that is how the Lord Jesus Christ will manifest himself unto the disciples and not to the world. And this is where we can see our first truth, because in light of the theme of how the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches, there are just three things we want to consider. First of all, we want to see who is that whom the Holy Spirit will teach. Unto whom will the Spirit reveal himself and indwell and guide and teach? And the Bible here reveals to us in verses 22 and 23 that it's not to everyone whom the Holy Spirit will be sent. And it's not everyone who will have this blessing and this promise that the Holy Spirit will guide and teach. To whom will the Holy Spirit be sent? And whom will the Holy Spirit guide and teach? And the Bible tells us it will be to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who keep his commandments. Then the Bible promises the Holy Spirit will guide and teach. Now, I'm sure you know that in the world, there are some teachers or some coaches who are very particular about the kind of students that they will have. I mean, of course, teachers in school, you don't have a choice. But if, let's say, you are a private teacher, a private tutor, or if you are a very well-known, world-renowned coach in a particular sport, you will be very particular about the kind of students that you have. Because you want to have a reputation, you want to keep your reputation. If, let's say, you are a coach in a particular sport, and then you know that there's a student that is slower in picking up this sport, have very poor hand-eye coordination, and then you are a reputable coach, you are those who are not coaching beginners, you are coaching those who are already advanced level, you do not want to take up these who are slow in learning, or you also may not want to take up those who are lazy, those who are not as fast, slower in reaction. You will be very particular in the kind of students whom you will choose. And so this is hoping that with a very good student and with your coaching, the student will now excel, and also your reputation will grow together with your student. These will be the teachers and the coaches of the world. There is also a requirement to those whom the Holy Spirit will teach. But the requirements are not secular. The requirements are not fleshly. You notice whom the Holy Spirit will teach are not those who are intelligent, those who are faster, those who are strong, those who are mighty, those who are rich. These are not those whom the Holy Spirit will teach. The only requirement that is stated here is that the Holy Spirit will teach those who love the Lord. And isn't this a very comforting truth? Because we know that we are not rich. We are not strong. We are not intelligent. What ability do we have? What can we give unto the Lord? But as long as we love the Lord, As long as we desire to devote ourselves to the Lord, as long as we love His Word and have a desire to obey His Word, the promise and the comforting truth is the Holy Spirit will teach us. The Holy Spirit will guide us to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us is also because the Bible continues to say, It is that loveth me, as you see in verse 21. And when you go down to verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What the Lord Jesus Christ says is that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father also loves you. And therefore, there is now this mutual love which we would share with the Father as well as with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this theme has already been taken by the Lord Jesus Christ earlier in this passage. In verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And we have also seen this in verse 21. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And then those who are loved of the Father and the Son will dwell with him. Now, the expression in verse 23 when the Bible says, we will come unto him and make our abode with him, to make our abode, this would describe how the Lord Jesus Christ, together with the Father, would manifest themselves not in a short-term way, not in a temporary way, but their dwelling with us would be permanent. Their dwelling with us would be lasting. And this is the privilege which Christians get to enjoy. Do you want the Holy Spirit to teach, to guide you? All that is required of you is that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and love His Word, the Bible says that the Father will also love you. And as the Father loves you, this is the promise and the blessings that comes with it. He will give His Spirit unto you. Now, the idea of love here is where there is a desire. It expresses a desire of the disciples to share in communion with the Father. It's to a desire to share in communion with Christ. It's to share in fellowship. It's to know Him. It's to know His will. It's a desire to obey Him. It's a desire to follow Him. It's a desire to surrender your all to Him. That is the love which you must have for the Son. And the Father will have the same love for you. This love is also where now we desire. We have the Lord to be our sole desire. We have Christ to be our supreme desire. It is Him whom we desire, whom we love. And the Bible says, as we love the Son, the Father loves us. And the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us. Now, in light of this truth of love, do we not sometimes find our love growing cold? And we may even find our love weak. But as the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us, this is also the comforting truth, that even when we find it difficult or we may find it hard to even love, because sometimes we may not feel like doing so, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit who will guide us, who will teach us in even loving the Son, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and loving the Father. And how wonderful it is that the one who flames the love in our hearts is the Holy Spirit itself. But will Christian be taught of the Spirit? Who is it whom the Spirit will teach? It must be those who love the Father, love the Son, and would hearken to the words of God. And this is why this would immediately debunk and answer those who have a wrong understanding of the Holy Spirit. There are those who would want the gift of the Holy Spirit for their own selfish desires. They want the Holy Spirit's guidance and leading merely for their own selfish pursuits. And those who have such a motive in desiring the Holy Spirit, they cannot have the Holy Spirit. Now we have in the book of Acts such an example of Simon the sorcerer or Simon the magician, who wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit because he saw the glorious expression of the Holy Spirit being worked in the life of the disciples. And he wanted that too. But such a desire, such a motive, which is selfish, the Bible will not give us this promise of the Spirit. To whom will the promise of the Spirit be given? It is to those who desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the next question is, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, how is this love expressed? The Bible tells us that this love must be expressed in the desire to keep his words. And this is also the second thought that we want to consider this evening. Because the Holy Spirit will teach those who love the Son, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who love the Father. Then the second thought is, what will the Holy Spirit teach? And that is where we go on. In verse 24, you see, the Bible says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And then the Lord Jesus Christ continues to say in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What is that the Spirit will teach? It will be the words of Christ. Because he that loveth the Lord Jesus Christ will desire to keep the words of Christ. And he that loveth not will have no regard for the words of Christ. So to those who desire to love Christ, and this love is expressed in the desire to obey the words of Christ, the question is, how can we obey the words of Christ? The Bible says, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you how you may obey the words of Christ. So what is it that the Holy Spirit will teach? It will teach us concerning Christ and his words. Now, there are many claims which people often make regarding the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they would say things like, the Holy Spirit reveals this to me, or the Holy Spirit has spoken this to me, or the Holy Spirit has said this to me. Sometimes we also get the feeling that, or people would talk in this way, that the Holy Spirit gives me this feeling that I'm directed to this particular direction, or directed to that particular direction. But what we realize is that as the Holy Spirit teaches us, it is not going to teach us concerning even itself. It's not just going to teach us anything that is apart from God's word, or that will contradict and that is contrary to the word of God. What the Holy Spirit will teach as the Holy Spirit moves, as the Holy Spirit fills us, is that it will teach us regarding Christ's words. If you love God and his word, do you see that this is a very comforting truth? That the Holy Spirit will teach you concerning the words of Christ. Now, if you are expecting something else, of course, naturally, we will be very disappointed, because if the Holy Spirit is only going to teach us concerning Christ and his word, and then we are expecting something else, we are expecting another revelation, we are expecting another directing, then we would be very disappointed, because that is not what the Holy Spirit will do. That is not how the Holy Spirit will guide. Yes, there are a lot of other promises concerning the Holy Spirit given to us in the Bible. For example, the Word of God would tell us how the Holy Spirit will be that which would convict our hearts of sin. The Holy Spirit is that also which works regeneration. The Holy Spirit is also that which works sanctification in us. But all this is never apart from the words of Christ, never apart from the truth of Scripture, never apart from God's Word. And so if you are expecting something apart from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, then you will never get it. But to God's people, who desire to be guided in the Word of God, who desires an understanding of God's Word, who desires also the ability to keep God's Word, then the Holy Spirit, the promise is, he will guide you into the truth of God. These things have I spoken unto you. And the Bible tells us in verse 26, he shall teach you all things. Now, in the context over here, this, of course, was first and foremost spoken particularly to the disciples. And this is to the purpose that the disciples can write scripture. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ would soon depart and would soon leave the disciples. And one of the mission of the disciples would be that they have to write scriptures, what they have seen in the life of Christ, what they have heard concerning the teachings of Christ. They have to write scriptures. But how are they going to write scriptures? And this is where we have the doctrine of inspiration. It is the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide the disciples to the writing of scripture. So verse 26 applies first and foremost to the disciples of Christ, where when the Spirit teaches the disciples, it is teaching the disciples with regard to writing the scriptures. And when it brings to remembrance the sayings of Christ, whatsoever the Lord Jesus Christ has said unto them, it is for the purpose of writing scripture. But there's also an application to us, because the same Holy Spirit which guided the disciples to the writing of scripture, the same Spirit which guided the disciples to the understanding of the sayings of Christ, it is the same Spirit who will now also guide us to the understanding of scripture, to the living out of the Word of God in our lives. Now, when you read through the Gospels, do you not realize that there are so many wonderful truths spoken of Christ, spoken also by Christ? You just merely have to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and there we see the Beatitudes. And then you have just merely to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and you can see the various instructions spoken over here concerning prayer. The instructions given to us concerning anger. The instructions concerning false teachers. In chapter 7 of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." The Lord Jesus Christ tells us to be aware of false prophets that will come in verse 15. Now, there are so many wonderful truths that are taught to us of Christ. Now, how can we understand this truth and how can we apply this truth? Because even when the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to judge not that ye be not judged, the Lord Jesus Christ will also tell us to judge righteous judgment. And then the Lord Jesus Christ also will ask us to beware of false prophets. But how do we apply this truth? How do we discern? That is where the Holy Spirit guides us and the Holy Spirit teaches us as we yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And isn't it so wonderful? Because sometimes we may wonder, how can we understand this portion of Scripture? As you desire, you should study the Word of God. You also wonder, how can I apply, how can I live out this portion of the Word of God in my life? It is the Holy Spirit who will guide us, teach us. It will teach us all things concerning these sayings and the teachings of Christ. I know some of us may have a question in our minds. It is that if we all have the same Spirit, and if it is the Holy Spirit which will guide us to the understanding of Scripture and also guide us to the living out of Scripture, then why is it that we are all so different? Why are there different denominations? Why are there different interpretations of a particular verse in the Bible? If it is the same Spirit who will guide us, if it is also the same Spirit who will teach us in the applying of God's Word, then why is it that there are so many different interpretations, even of one verse? Why would there be different denominations? Because while the Holy Spirit teaches and guides, the Bible also tells us that believers can quench the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that you see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonian Christians, he says, "Quench not the Spirit." And here this instruction and this command was given to believers. So we know that he was addressing believers, not unbelievers. And sometimes believers may not yield to the Holy Spirit. The word quench there has the idea of suppress. Sometimes believers may suppress the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, they should not. They must not. But the reality is, sometimes we do. And this is why it results in the different understanding of Scripture. It's because of our sinfulness. It's because of our stubbornness. Often when we come to Scripture, we come wanting to see only what we want to see. We come ignoring what we do not want to see. Right? If we know that the Word of God convicts us of a particular sin, and it's now the Holy Spirit which uses the Word of God to convict us of that sin, we would come up with a lot of explanation why we do not want to listen to it. And then when the Word of God does not say a particular truth, but then we have an ulterior motive in coming to the Word of God, we would deliberately force a particular truth into the Word of God. Sometimes that is what we do. And it's because of our sinfulness, our stubbornness, that there are so many different interpretations. It's not the Spirit's fault. It's not that the Spirit will lead us differently. It's not that the Word of God is not clear. It's not that the Word of God is not true. But it's because of our sinfulness and stubbornness, where we oftentimes do not submit and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So even as the Holy Spirit teaches us, we need to not quench the Spirit. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Submit, you yourself. Do not suppress the working, the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. It is a very dangerous thing to do so, because we can grow numb to the prompting, to the leading, to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. But as we yield to the Holy Spirit will teach us concerning God's truth, concerning the Word of God. That is the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us over here. And how wonderful a promise it is to those who love God and His Word. As we commune with the Lord, this is also where we believe the Word of God is an open book. It is not left to anyone to just interpret the Word of God in his own way. No one also can claim to exclusively have all of the truth himself. It is open for all because the same Spirit is given to all of God's children. This was the era of the Roman Catholic Church during the time of Martin Luther before the Reformation. This was the era of the Roman Catholic Church where they claimed to be only that which have the truth. And it was the Lord used Martin Luther through the studying of Scripture, not with the influence of the Pope or the Roman Catholic Church, but just the plain study of Scripture. He came to a rediscovery of the wonderful doctrine of justification by faith. Justification by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit teaches, the Holy Spirit guides. You know, it was said that during the time of the Reformation and after the Reformation, there was a period of time in history known as the Inquisition. This Inquisition was where the Roman Catholic Church tried to counteract the Reformation. And so during this time, the Roman Catholic Church would use various methods to persecute and to chase after these Christians. And so many of these Christians went into hiding. And sometimes when these Christians went into hiding, they would use various codes, right? Code words or code symbols in order to identify one another. Because in those days, they would not be able to meet openly. So sometimes when they want to go for worship, and then they are Christians, and then they do not know whether they are Christian. One of the code that they may use is the symbol of the fish. Okay, so some of you may have seen the symbol of the fish around. Okay, that's a symbol that they will use. They will draw half the symbol on the floor, and then another person will complete the symbol. Then they know that you are Christian. Then they say, okay, I'll tell you where we are going to have our worship later on. And sometimes they also use portions of Scripture. You know, where they may quote a particular portion of Scripture. And then if the other person is able to quote another portion of Scripture, then they know, oh, okay, we are now a Christian. This is a place to worship. And so the story goes that the Roman Catholics, the Catholics soon got wind of this. They found out about this kind of coding system, and they started to learn the codes of these Christians. And through the learning of the codes of these Christians, one thing that they have to do is they have to study Scripture, right? Because the Christians are using portions of Scripture as their code. And in the process of studying Scripture, some of these Roman Catholics became Christians themselves. How does this happen? How is it that even just merely through the reading of Scriptures, through the studying of Scripture, when they see the gospel in the Word of God itself, they can be converted and convicted. It is not through the eloquence of men. It is not through the persuasiveness of man's speech, but the Holy Spirit who teaches and teaches the Word of God. And this man can become converted. It's the Holy Spirit's working. So we must not underestimate the Spirit's working in our lives. I mean, now, of course, I'd like to also immediately say that this is not to say that there's no place for teachers of God's Word. Because the Bible does tell us that there is a need for pastors, for teachers, those who will instruct us in the Word of God. But these pastors and teachers never act and teach apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. They just merely declare the Word of God. They just merely explain the Word of God. And it's the Holy Spirit which will teach the Word that is preached faithfully and apply into the hearts of the hearers. And this is also the third truth that I'd like us to look at. Okay, so the first two things that we have seen is who the Holy Spirit will teach. The Holy Spirit teaches those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit also will teach the Word of God. Okay, so the second thing is, what will the Holy Spirit teach? It will teach the Word of God. But the third thing we want to see is, how will the Holy Spirit teach? The Holy Spirit will teach in the name of Christ. Now this is what we see in verse 26. The Bible says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now the expression here, in my name, means that it will come representing Christ, or it will also come with the authority of Christ. The Holy Spirit will come in the name of Christ. And how will the Holy Spirit teach? Now the word comforter is what we have really considered last week. But let us not lose the meaning of this word comforter. Because the meaning of this word comforter describes the Holy Spirit who will come alongside us in order to comfort us. And this is a very precious word, which means that the Holy Spirit does not just merely teach us from a distance, but the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to comfort us, but also to teach us in God's truth and God's word. Of course, what this also would mean is that the Holy Spirit comforts through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit now comforts by coming alongside us. That is the meaning of the word comforter. It literally describes someone who is now alongside you as he comforts. Now, there are many different kinds of teachers, you know. There are some teachers who teach in a group. Most teachers in schools are like this. And you know that a teacher who teaches in a group can never be as effective as a private teacher, one-to-one, who is teaching you personally. Because even in various subjects, the teacher may not know your pace. Okay, the teacher may not know how fast you understand. So sometimes teachers who teach in a big classroom, like 40 students, he has to try to accommodate every student. It's so difficult. How fast? How slow? And then should he follow the one who is not able to understand this point, and then should he repeat? But then how about the fastest one in class? He's already ahead of the rest. So how do the teachers accommodate? It's very difficult. But when you have someone who is privately teaching you, it's different. And then with someone who is also privately teaching you, he can now also apply particular truths to you very personally. This is also the same as preaching. You see, when we preach in the pulpit, the struggle for us is also, every one of you is of different maturity. And every one of you also goes through different struggles. You also have different needs. And sometimes when we preach, we bring out the principle, we draw the principle, we try to apply the principle, but there are so many scenarios which each one of you go through. And sometimes when we apply a particular scenario, it may not be applicable to you directly per se. Whereas it may be very applicable for someone else. But does that mean that the message that you have heard from the Word of God, the principles that are drawn, is now not applicable to you? The comforting truth for us is that the Holy Spirit now comes alongside us. And He takes the Word of God, which you have read, which you have understood, which you desire to keep and to obey, and the Holy Spirit will now teach you personally, privately, alongside you, and He will bring this truth to your remembrance so that you can live it out in your life. Preachers and pastors, sometimes we try, maybe in personal counseling. But it's still very difficult because we cannot understand your heart. We cannot see your intentions, your motive, and you cannot may not be able to see my intentions and motive. We cannot understand everything. We cannot sympathize and empathize with you completely. But what is comforting to us is that we have one, the Holy Spirit, who is beside us, who is coming alongside us, who is teaching us all things concerning what Christ has spoken, and all things will be brought to our remembrance. Now, here again, there's a very particular application to the disciples, right, for the writing of Scripture. But it also does apply to us, where the Holy Spirit's ministry to us is now to remind us of God's Word. Of course, this goes back to the second point. Remember that the Holy Spirit does not work apart from the Word of God. But as we study the Word of God, as we know the Word of God, as we memorize the Word of God, as we desire to obey the Word of God, now the Holy Spirit will work together with the Word of God as its instrument to guide our lives, to comfort us, to encourage us, to remind us. That's very interesting because do you know that there were certain things which the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he said to the disciples, which the disciples did not understand? I mean, just let me give you an example. In John chapter 12, verse 16, this is what the disciples themselves would say. In John chapter 12, verse 16, right? If you look at the context, this is the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, right, the Bible says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass colt." And then, "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." See, the Gospels were written after the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gospels were a recounting of the teachings, of the stories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was with the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught them, there were certain things which the disciples, who were slow of heart, they did not understand. But when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, it is the Holy Spirit who also led the disciples into all truth and brought these things to their remembrance, and now they have an understanding of it. And this is the comforting truth. Sometimes when we study the Word of God, we may not be able to see its immediate application or its impact for our lives. You know, like you study, you may, by the grace of God, you do your devotion every day, every morning. Then maybe you read, like if you follow the book of Proverbs, you know, like every day you correspond with the particular date, right? Like today is September 9th, then you read Proverbs chapter 9. If you follow that, then maybe when you are reading Proverbs chapter 9, you say that, okay, I hope that maybe today there will be one thing that will apply in my day. But then through the day, you realize that there's nothing particular from this passage that applies to that particular situation you're going through. But please do not despise the study of God's Word, the communion with the Lord, the memorization of God's Word. Because I'm sure you have experienced there are many other occasions where the Spirit brings to mind the words of Scripture which you have read some time ago, some time back, not necessarily just this morning or even just today, but some time ago, where the principles, the truths of Scripture are now alive to you again, are brought to your remembrance again. This is the Holy Spirit's working. And we thank the Lord for that. How the Holy Spirit works, how the Holy Spirit teaches, is that it guides us personally. It comes alongside us. And it comes to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ through Christ's name, in his name. It's with the authority of Christ. It represents Christ. Isn't it so wonderful that today, with the Word of God completed for us, there's no more need for the writing of Scriptures. That's why this particular application to the disciples no longer applies to us. But yet, the promise for us is still the same, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things concerning Christ's words, and it will bring to remembrance these things concerning Christ's words. But do you desire to know God and His Word? Do you love Him? Because these are those whom the Holy Spirit will teach. And as the Holy Spirit teaches those who love Christ, the Holy Spirit teaches His Word. Holy Spirit is not that which will teach you concerning things contrary to Scripture, but He'll teach you His Word. And how the Holy Spirit teaches is that He comes alongside us. He applies God's truth personally to your life, to your heart. I pray that for you, you will not suppress the working of the Holy Spirit. You will be sensitive to the leading, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Then we can enjoy the blessedness of this ministry of the Holy Spirit who teaches us. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this blessed promise of the Holy Spirit being given to us. We thank Thee that as the Holy Spirit indwells us, the Holy Spirit now also teaches us concerning Thy Word and Thy truth. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt deepen our love for Thee and Thy Word, and that we desire also to have Thy Son and Thou who would abide in our hearts and in our lives. We desire to enjoy a more intimate, a more precious communion with Thee. And we thank Thee as this is our desire. The promise in Your Word is You will give Thy Holy Spirit who will teach us, who will guide us. Oh, forgive us for those times when, because of our own stubbornness and pride, we have not yielded to the prompting, the leading, and the conviction of Thy Spirit. Oh Lord, in such times, indeed, how foolish we are. And oftentimes this has only led to our own hurt. But we pray that Thou will help us now to be sensitive to Thy Spirit's prompting and teaching. How wonderful to know we have an infallible guide, an infallible teacher in Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.